So Prime Minister Scott Morrison says the government's climate policy will continue to evolve to meet and beat its global commitments, but he stopped short of pledging new emissions reduction targets.
The Cabinet and the government will continue to evolve our policies to meet our targets and to beat them. That's what I'm saying.
You are open.
That's Scott Morrison speaking to David Spears on the ABC yesterday. The bushfire crisis now unfolding was effectively predicted 12 years ago by the final report of the Garneau Climate Change Review for the then Rudd Labor government. And to quote that report, it said, recent projections of fire weather suggest that fire seasons will start earlier, end slightly later, and generally be more intense. This effect increases over time, but should be directly observable by 2020. Now, that was written by economist Professor Ross Garneau, who is in our Melbourne studios now. Ross Garneau, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Hello, Tom.
What was your reaction? You wrote that in 2008, and then you witnessed the same crisis we all witnessed this summer. How did you feel seeing that unfold?
Well, it's a tragic evolution of reality, but not unexpected. The same tragedy we see in the drying and warming of southern Australia affecting water in the Murray-Darling Basin, making droughts more severe, less water flows into our irrigation systems. So my report was based on very good science. The bushfire report was based on a commission from the CSIRO and the Bureau of Meteorology. Tragically, they got it right in the advice that I reported in my report.
The Prime Minister yesterday in his interview on the ABC talked about evolving their climate policy and their targets, but he said they'd evolve it without putting a price on carbon, without costing any jobs, basically without any major changes to their policy. So how could he really evolve their policy?
Well, I was very pleased to hear that the policy will evolve. It needs to evolve. It's really important that Australia be part of the international community that's seeking more ambitious outcomes rather than a drag on the global effort. We've been a drag in recent years, and that's not in our national interest. I think we can make strong progress in reducing emissions without damaging the economy. In fact, as I explain in my new book, Superpower, Australia's Low Carbon Opportunity, Australia would do very well in a zero carbon world economy, and that's what we should be working towards.
What did you make of the Prime Minister's comment yesterday that Australia only makes up 1.3% of global emissions and using that as a defence about, you know, being a laggard or leading the global effort?
Well, it's true that we're only part of the world community, and this is a global problem. And what we've got to do is make sure that we're encouraging the world to take strong action and not discouraging the world. China's a much bigger emitter than us, but if you divided China into 25 countries with Australia's population, each of those on average would have half the emissions of Australia. So we're a world beater in emissions per person. No country can solve this alone. By making sure we're at the head of the pack, encouraging greater global effort, we can serve our national interest by discouraging the global effort as we've been doing in recent years. We're not acting in Australia's national interest.
What do you make of Australia's position on using the Kyoto carryover credits towards our 2030 target?
I think that the less we do now, the bigger the drag we are on the international effort, and the more we'll have to do to get to zero emissions by the middle of the century, which is necessary for us to meet our commitment to the Paris goals. So I don't think it does us any good at all in any way. It slows down the global effort. It increases our problems later on. In reaching zero emissions, as we will have to do, and it slows down the emergence of the new industries, which are the key to a bright economic future for Australia in the zero carbon world economy.
So given the political reality here in Australia that a coalition government would be very, very unlikely to ever introduce a carbon price, What are the key levers you'd like to see the coalition pull to evolve their climate policy?
I went into this in the last chapter of my book, Superpower. I think we can get quite a long way in the energy sector by embracing one of the recommendation four of the Australian Consumer and Competition Commission in its report on the electricity industry, Commonwealth underwriting of new energy investments. I think that it's very important for us to require coal and natural gas industries to buy offsets, carbon credits from the Australian farm sector to offset all of their fugitive emissions, which are growing very fast and are the main reason why Australian emissions are growing in recent years instead of falling. So there are a couple of very important steps we can take without a carbon price.
So given it's also unlikely that the coalition would change their 2030 emissions target, do you think maybe the focus should be on committing to a zero carbon outcome for 2050?
Well, I think that zero emissions by 2050 is necessary for us to play our average part in reaching the Paris goals. That's a clear implication of the Paris ambition to hold temperature increases below 2 degrees and as close as possible to 1.5 degrees. I would see the commitment of the government to not change its targets by 2030 to relate to this parliament. Don't forget that Prime Minister Howard went to the 1996 election saying there never ever would be a GST, and he won the 1998 election promising a GST. Let's see the commitment not to change those 2030 targets as a target for the as a commitment for this electoral term. Let's hope that we see much stronger commitments after this electoral term.
The Guardian published a piece from Malcolm Turnbull yesterday saying that the bushfire crisis was an opportunity not to be wasted, and he implored Scott Morrison to revive the National Energy Guarantee. Do you think that's good policy?
I think the National Energy Guarantee tragically came to grief a couple of years ago, and I don't think that will be easy to revive given the way it came to grief. So I wouldn't start there. Former Prime Minister Turnbull was in the right position in saying that this is not an opportunity for the government to change course. That's right. I think that it can change course in other ways that are not so directly contradictory of internal coalition directions over the last couple of years.
As we mentioned, your prediction from 2008, 12 years ago, about the state of the bushfire situation now turned out to be quite accurate. How do you see the risk going forward from this point?
Not every year will be as bad as this one. There'll be normal fluctuations, but it'll be fluctuations against a worsening trend. On average, conditions in 10 years will be worse than they are now. We have to become better at managing these conditions, and I think we've learnt a lot from this fire, just as we learnt a lot from tragic fire incidents in the past. But things will keep getting more challenging. Hotter conditions will be worse for bushfires. That will continue to be the case until the world has zero net emissions. It's in Australia's national interest that we're part of the global effort to get to zero net emissions as soon as possible.
One of the really interesting ideas in your book, Superpower, was I guess the opportunities created by having a very cheap renewable source of power, and how that could open up possibilities for processing things like aluminium and bringing more of that onshore. Tell us more about how we could do that.
Yes, Australia has the best renewable natural resources in the world. Right across southern Australia, the combination of solar and wind is uniquely favourable for low energy prices in the zero emissions world economy, and right up the East Coast, you've got similar opportunities of wider range with some low-cost biomass added to the mix. All of the old centres of coal power generation in Australia could be centres for minerals processing based on renewable energy. That's a natural development as the world moves towards zero emissions. And we're the main world exporter of many of the ores that require a lot of energy to turn into final products. We're the world's biggest exporter of iron ore. Currently, that goes to China, Japan, Korea, to be mixed with Australian coal to be turned into steel. Once zero emissions iron is made out of hydrogen based on renewable energy, economically the natural place to do that processing will be here at home. Similarly with aluminium, we're the world's biggest exporter of aluminium oxide based on bauxite. The natural place to turn that into aluminium metal will be home in Australia once the world is producing aluminium with zero emissions.
Yeah, so it's an interesting economic future you paint for Australia there, because I imagine that a lot of that processing has gone offshore because they have a relative advantage in that they have cheaper labour, which has been a challenge for Australia's economy. But if we now, enhance our own competitive advantage by bringing down the cost of energy generation, it seems like that could open up a range of economic opportunities in Australia.
Oh, it does. And as I explain in the book, the employment opportunities, the incomes growth, the export from the new industries is much larger than what we get now from coal and natural gas. Also, there'll be a lot of opportunities associated with Australia's capacity to capture land carbon in our landscape, in soils and pastures and woodlands. That can be a huge new industry for rural Australia. Most of the new opportunities are rural and provincial opportunities, so this can be an important development for rural and provincial Australia in an era where old industries are challenged by the warming and, in southern Australia, the drying that's associated with climate change.
All right, interesting to hear your predictions about the economy and the opportunities going forward, Ross Garnaut. I imagine people will take your prophecies even more seriously than they did before after what's happened this summer, sadly. Thank you so much for joining us on RN Breakfast.
Thank you, Tom.
That's Ross Garnaut, Professorial Research Fellow in Economics at the University of Melbourne.